In 1969, they came to Woodstock for peace, love, and drugs. WBGO's Michael Bourne was hoping to get an interview with one of the big-time performers there. His journey 50 years ago is one for the ages.
I'd never been to New York before, but this enormous rock festival sounded great. I'd been scribbling about music for an underground paper, and I somehow scored a press pass. I didn't even know where Woodstock was. But I happened to see an ad in what must have been the Village Voice for a bus from Midtown Manhattan to the festival and back, round trip something like $35. Except on that very first day, the traffic was already so insane that the bus could get no closer than 8 miles. Driver dumped us out, said he'd come pick us up at the same spot on Sunday evening, and I said, yeah, right. I was a young curmudgeon and did not like walking 8 blocks, let alone 8 miles. But I joined in the passing parade as all the locals of Woodstock watched all these children of God watching by. I was not one of them. I was not in sandals and shorts. I was not in anything tie-dyed or feathered. I was scruffy and bearded, but in a sport coat with slacks and carrying a briefcase. And in the briefcase, a notebook, a tape recorder. I was supposed to interview Joe Cocker. And I'd picked up a couple of chocolate space bars at some store I'd gone by, what turned out to be the only thing I'd get to eat at Woodstock. I didn't have anything to drink, but I needed the call. And the only toilet was at a local tavern with more than 100 standing in line. I opted instead to go around behind a church with a high hedge. I thought nobody'd see me inside the hedge. And I was inside the hedge, and I heard from down below me to the left, "Far out, man." I was peeing on a hippie. I said, "Oops, sorry," turned. And that's when I heard from down below me to the right, "Do you know where anywhere we can crash, man?" I was peeing on a hippie girl. No, sorry, I said and zipped and split. And I'm thinking, they're already oblivious, and they're miles yet from Woodstock. Going up the country, where did you want to go? By the time I got to Woodstock, what's the song? We were 500,000 strong, and they'd already trampled down all of the fences. A ticket was worthless. A press pass was worthless. There was no press tent where I'd been promised I'd be taken care of. I was on my own. I wandered around Yasgur's Field looking for, it was raining, a dry patch to squat down on. I finally found something to squat down on, and I was so far from the stage that Tim Hardin was a blue dot. It was raining. Ravi Shankar tried to play, and then it would rain and he'd stop. He'd try to play, and then it would rain and he'd stop. Could hear everything beautifully. These enormous towers with these giant speakers were resounding the music for miles. But I really don't remember much about the music that I heard that day at Woodstock. I remember Chipmunk warning everybody about the brown acid.
To get back to the warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good. It's suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, so be my guest. But please be advised that there is a warning on that one, okay?
Not something that was going to affect me anyway. I was of that age, but not of the sex, drugs, rock and roll generation. I was only interested in one of those. And it happened that down to earth next to me was someone I've always remembered as Kelly. I can never remember her name, but I remember that she was a Kelly girl, a professional temp secretary from Connecticut, and Kelly seemed to like me. Her sister did not. I was scruffy, but I was in a sport coat, and everyone assumed I was a narc. We talked. Night fell. Kelly asked if I wanted to stay with her in her car. I thought about that one thing, but I really thought about getting out of the rain. Except that as we meandered amongst the tens of thousands of people and seeming almost as many cars, I lost Kelly. I remember one moment when Kelly's sister I saw looking at me, sneering at me, and splitting as if losing me on purpose. A couple of cats walked up to me and said, "Do you need a ride?" I said, "Yes, if you can help us find our car, you can ride with us." But they were so stoned, they didn't even know what their car looked like. Joan Baez was singing the night they drove Old Dixie down, loudly. And I, for a moment, even though surrounded by a half a million strong, seemed to be alone in a corner of the field. And that's when this mist arose from the mud. And even though I'd not ingested anything hallucinogenic, brown or otherwise, this mist seemed to come and become a face, ugly and snarling at me, and a ghostly arm appeared, and a ghostly hand appeared, and a ghostly finger pointed at me and beckoned, and I heard the voice of this wraith say clearly, "Fat boy, come with me.
How can I bring you to this sea of madness? I love you so much, it's gonna bring me sadness. I've never seen it through these eyes before now. I don't believe it, I think I'll take it and leave it."
And that's when I ran toward the road, looking for cars, cars that were rolling in what seemed to be the direction of out of Woodstock. And I came to the road, and cars were rolling, but very slowly, maybe about 10 or 20 feet every minute or two. Slowly enough that I could walk up to each driver on the road and shove a fistful of cash in the driver's face and say, "New York? New York? No, man. New York? Rhode Island. We're going into Rhode Island, man. New York? New York?" And finally, this one guy looked up and said, Yeah, but I don't want to wake up my girlfriend." Only she looked up and said, "Let him in." And I got in the front seat. I don't always remember names, but I'll never forget the name of my Samaritan, Joe Castro. And we headed out 10 feet, 20 feet, 50 feet, and then we'd stop. I finally fell asleep. I remember that I woke up in the middle of the night, and Joe himself behind the wheel was asleep. Every car was stopped dead on the road. We'd roll a while, we'd stop a while. Dawn came. We were still far from out, and there were still tens of thousands of people coming into Woodstock. We were hanging at the windows and screaming, "Go back! Go back! There's no food! There's no water! There's no toilets!" But they kept on coming, and we kept on going. I got into Joe's car. Must have been around midnight. We hit the highway finally around 9 in the morning. 9 hours to go, maybe 9 miles. We drove quickly once on the highway until we came to a roadside eatery, and we pulled in, and already signs were up everywhere. "Don't go to Woodstock. Go back. Go back." As we pulled in, a car pulled up next to us, and a fellow got out of the car and looked over at us and said, "Peace and brotherhood, my ass." That was the one true moment of brotherhood I felt at Woodstock. I'm Michael Bourne.
Looking at the world through the sunset in your eyes. Traveling the train through camera of the skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens call. Animal carpet wall to wall. American ladies 5 foot tall and blue. Sweeping
cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to seek what we could find. Hope the days that lie ahead bring us back to where they've led. Listen not to what's been said to you. But you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express. But you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express. They're taking me to Marrakesh.